Okay, kids, let's go.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
TK427.
Why aren't you at the boat?
Where are you?
Hello, what have we here?
These guys are so funny.
Hello.
Holy shit.
Thanks, we should listen to Star Wars opera one day.
Okay.
Hello there.
Opera. Opera. It's a true thing.
Found someone you have, I would say.
May the force be with us. Fucking A.
Good day, galaxy.
Is that the highlight of your week whenever we record?
To say the good
to
day?
Say, yeah. I feel like
you want to try it?
You're jazzed about it. Not really. It's not my thing. I might like to go like,
what?
That's usually kind of what I'm after.
What? I'm Mopar.
I am Commander Cody.
Back at it again.
You know what I'd like to know?
Yeah.
Where's Rush Hour 4?
Top 5 classic rock bands. Go.
I used to know this off the top of my dome.
What do you mean, no?
Like, know this. Like, I would answer you, like, instantly. But then I think too hard about it, you know what I mean? I'm not going to think too hard about it. Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Black Sabbath, The Doors, Grateful Dead.
So I went with, I considered Black Sabbath metal. Which is fine. I think they fit in both, obviously. But I went Zeppelin, Floyd, Doors, Rush.
Nice.
I had a fifth.
Uh-oh. You're pulling a Commander. You're thinking too hard about it, man.
What did I say?
I don't know.
Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd. That's it.
Led Zeppelin 1, Led Zeppelin 2, Led Zeppelin 3, Led Zeppelin 4.
I honestly prefer their later stuff. I know we were texting about that. I like their first album. It's fine, and I understand why it like hit the ground running because it was crazy for the time. I just prefer... It was like the Metallica thing where Kill 'Em All is great, but they really hit their stride with Ride. And then they kind of took off. I feel the same way about Zeppelin, where the first one was great, and I understand it. The second one is where they kind of took off.
Yeah.
I actually don't love the third one, but it still was kind of an ascension from there. Fourth, Presence, Graffiti. It was fucking amazing.
It's funny you mention that, because I've been listening to a lot of Kill 'Em All, and I'm liking it more and more.
Yeah. No,
More than I used to.
I listened to it, the full album, the other day. It's the in-between songs that hold me together, though. The Jump Into Fires, The No Remorse might be my favorite song.
No Remorse
off that,
is good. Off Whiplash is climbing up my list lately.
Whiplash Never Stop, We'll Never Quit. We're Metallica.
Yeah. It's just so... The hook is good. Because it's so fucking fast the whole time, and they slow it down a little bit for the hook. It's good. If you're considering Sabbath metal and I have to take them out of my list, I think I would probably put in Hendrix.
I'm not a Hendrix fan.
Hendrix is always iffy for me because I'm like... As a like... Used to former kind of still know how to play guitarist. Obviously, he's like one of the best ever.
I think.
So
what
I feel a responsibility to mention Hendrix, even if it's I don't know his whole catalog by heart. You know what I mean? He's only got like 3 studio albums, I think. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you on Rush.
Rush is I love Rush.
Good
and
choice.
The crazy thing is, the more and more I listen to him, the more and more I like him. Like, I know they're hits and they're crazy shit, but... Oh, I'll throw one out there that might be an unpopular...
denominator?
One that you would think for me.
Ooh.
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Okay.
It's
yeah, yeah.
Fucking amazing.
I hear it.
And their album that's called... It's pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's the name of the album. It has, like, 4 or 5 of their biggest hits. I would put that up against any fucking album any day. It's phenomenal.
They are really good. You know, if you just don't listen to Sweet Home Alabama ever again.
That song's not on it.
Good.
I don't think so.
It's one of those where it's like, I want to really get into the Eagles, but I've heard Hotel California 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Just like, it taints the rest of the band. That's how I am with like Journey and fucking Don't Stop Believing.
I'm
like, I never want to hear you ever again because
yeah.
of that stupid song. And Bon Jovi and all that. It's like, a, you know, revolving door of, I hate the popular song because I'm a weirdo. Skynyrd's good, though. Skynyrd is in the vein of like kind of like Allman Brothers, where it's
yeah.
kind of, it's got country influence, but it's still rock.
Yeah.
And it's like, and blues. It's like country, blues, and rock all mixed together, which is, you know, Americana.
So, pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd album. It's got Tuesday's Gone, Give Me Three Steps, Simple Man, Mississippi Kid, and Freebird.
Three Steps is really good.
Yeah. I mean, that's a crazy album. Yeah, I'll put them up there. I'm not the biggest fan of... Yeah, I enjoy them a lot, is what I'll say. I don't go to them very often, but...
Yeah. Well, cool, man.
Rush. Rush is it.
Rush. I don't know the deep tracks, you know?
You know, the other thing... Yeah, Rush deep tracks is... That's where you find the fucking phenomenal.
We were out having a drink with Fred. You guys were talking about all these tracks from Rush. I'm like, I can't chime in. Just I've never like, heard that.
Just cue up A Farewell to Kings. Oh, that whole album's great. Dude, there's stuff that I don't even know the names of the songs, but when it comes on, I'm like, oh, fuck, this one. This right. one's a, this is a great one.
Right.
Whatever this one is.
I have a couple other vinyls left over from my parents that I haven't listened to.
Yeah. Yeah, even their popular stuff is quirky, but yeah.
It's hard to play non-standard like time signatures and stuff and make it sound really good.
Yeah.
Like there's progressive bands that are like Animals as Leaders I love, but yeah. sometimes when you listen to it, it's like my brain is hurting trying to keep up with it.
Yeah.
But there's a talent in doing the weird progressive stuff and making it very like
smooth. Very groovy.
Yeah, accessible, I guess.
And
I think BT Bam does that, well, a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, Rush especially.
Yeah. Floyd actually does that really well, too. Like, one of their most famous songs, Money, is in, like, 5-4.
Yeah.
And you just don't even realize
it. Yeah, it's in 7. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's 5-4.
7.
I think it's 5-4.
7.
Look it up.
I don't have to listen. I'm listening to the riff in my head.
Boom, boom, boom.
3-4, boom, 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 boom.
No, you missed it.
Five.
You were late.
Are we doing this right now?
No, no. We'll do it tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Engage the hyperdrive. I watched Spaceballs the other day and it was fucking... It hit. It hit.
Yeah?
Right? I think I watched it too often there for like 5 years.
That was
like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I put it on.
You had to do a bit of a cleanse there.
Dude, yeah. It's great. I love that style of comedy, and we were just talking about Mel Brooks somewhere else, and I'm like, man, he's 100 years old, and we're clearly not going to get anything else out of him.
I heard his new project, from a couple years ago. Maybe it was you that was telling me about it.
Yeah. What was it?
It's like a anthology, kind of like sketch show, History of the World or something like that.
Yeah, History of the World.
Maybe we might have talked about it on this very show.
Part 2. No, we did, because I forgot that they were even queuing that up. History of the World Part 1, and I think they were making a Part 2, just as like a follow-up quirky thing. But
yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of the Part 1. It was just not...
But quite.
It wasn't quite to the quality of Spaceballs or Young Frankenstein or Blazing Saddles or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always liked Spaceballs because obviously it's a spoof of Star Wars. But I would never... Mel Brooks movies weren't ones that I would just, you know, queue up any random rainy day when I'm in the mood for a comedy and like get into it.
Really? Yeah. Like Blazing Saddles? See, I'm actually the opposite.
Well, I never watched it when I was a kid.
Oh, you so I hope
watched
not.
It... Well... I mean, it's not like a nostalgia thing. Like, I tried to watch Blazing Saddles a couple years ago for the very first time, and I was like, I get it on both ends. I get why it's funny, and I also get why you shouldn't watch it anymore. But I don't know. It's not for me.
Oddly like Spaceballs because of the comedy first. It's not because it's a Star Wars spoof. I think... The comedic timing and all the lines and everything are why I watch it. Colonel Sanders, like the small stuff. I don't care if it's in space or Star Wars. It's like Rick Moranis just being a fucking goofball.
Yeah.
And Mel Brooks and like it's just I enjoy it. I really do. And it hit well. I think I've gotten to that oversaturation point with UHF. I tried to watch that a couple months ago and I was like, ah.
Yeah. I can understand
You gotta wait.
Got to be in the mood for that one.
Brand new over again.
I watched Ocean's 11 the other day. Mm-hmm. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
I don't think I've ever... I might have watched that once in my life.
Oh, for real?
I'm not sure if I've ever watched the other ones. There's 12 and 13, right?
Yeah, and then they made 8
yeah.
a couple of year or two ago. It's, I don't know, all time. One of my all-time favorites. I love it.
11 through 13?
No, like just 11.
Oh.
13's good too, but Al Pacino's in 13, so, you know, that's always fun. But just like, you know, any movie where they throw all of the biggest actors at the time in the cast together, it's just a fun ride. And that's what they, you know, George Clooney and Brad Pitt and
yeah.
Casey Affleck and fucking everybody.
Like it.
Anyways. How can you say you like it? You said you only saw it once.
I like the idea of it.
I like the plan of it. Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
Star Wars sucks again.
I love how came back last episode. I was like, dude, Battlefront Classic Collection comes out in 2 days. We're about to get the Acolyte trailer. I'm hyped. And now I have to come back in and complain about the Battlefront game.
I'm going to defend
and
it.
And talk about the Acolyte trailer because I actually didn't see any of your comments.
Yeah.
So we can do Battlefront first.
I'm going to defend Battlefront. I think it's fine. I don't know why people are bitching. Just because you suck at the game now.
No, it's because you can already buy the old game.
And it's smooth.
For $5.
Yeah, that's a valid point. Like, why would you spend the money? The other one plays better. It's just the access to online is what they really added, that you can do full. But
yeah,
even
but
the servers are buggy.
No fucking control over anything. Like, you can't group up in, like, a party. Yeah. You have to be like, all right, try to join this random match and maybe we'll be on the same
Hopefully,
team.
Hopefully, yeah.
That's the other thing, too. We couldn't pick teams. So, like, every match, two of us would be on one and one of us would be on the other. And we were...
I'm surprised you can't switch between the two. That was one of my favorite things about the Battlefields, where even if I, like, joined your game, if I was on the other side, I would just be like, oh, switch teams.
Yeah, that was one of the best features ever.
And then we could choose our own squad within the whole team. And it was like, then we have all spawn points and shit.
Battlefield's one of the best.
Dude, I'm ready. Let's fucking... booted back up. I'm ready.
Listen, the Battlefront thing, I'm shitting. I'm only going to be pissed about it because it was $35.
Yeah.
If it was $10, like, okay, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, PC gamers on Steam have been playing and keeping the original 2 alive basically forever.
Yeah.
Get it on Steam, the old one's like $5, and you can download a bunch of mods to make it play better and put Kit Fisto and Asajj Ventress in the game, whatever. So as a console guy, I can't do that. So when it comes out, I'm excited. I'm going to get it. But it's kind of upscaled, but it's so buggy that you're not really appreciating any of that because the camera's just whipping around and, like, you know, Kit Fisto's like fucking rubber banding everywhere. It's pretty gnarly, man, for $31.50 after my Game Pass discount.
I mean, I agree. You're right. It's expensive for what it is.
That's the only reason I'm pissed.
There's no visual representation that it has been upscaled. It literally looks like they took the game and bumped up the brightness to and then just sold it again for $35.
Some stuff is clear. Like, you can... it's displaying in 1080, which is good.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I was so confused when I booted it up and it put me in first person. I seriously...
That was weird.
My mind was, like, tripping. I was like, what?
Why is
this
so hard?
This game sucks. I was like, what the fuck did they do to
this game? I
don't
remember it defaulting to first person
back
in the day.
Me neither. And I was playing and playing. I'm like, this can't be it.
Right.
And finally, you're like, just click third person.
I thought about it. Like,
and I was like, oh, my God. It makes so much sense. And it's back to normal. It's not. Yeah. It's not easy. But I just still think the tracking of it. Like, I used to be able to strife back and forth and, like, hit the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just completely missing the whole fucking time.
Yeah, I feel like the aim assist wasn't working at all.
No, not at all.
Or maybe it was, like, doing the opposite.
Yeah.
Anti-aiming.
But on the surface, it plays fine. Like, when we were playing Mos Eisley Assault with all the... Jedi and everything. Yeah, I thought it was fine. I actually was getting back into the groove, and I'm like, even though I was stuck with the bad guys, you know. Oh, no, we were stuck with the good guys, because I was forced to play as I almost called her Ahsoka.
Ayla Shakira.
Ayla.
Yeah, man, it was fun while we were doing it. It was fun. But it felt like we would get sick of it pretty quickly, until they fix a lot of the stuff that's messed up, man. I fully expect them to, like, you know, patch it, and if I come back in like a couple weeks and it be behaving properly.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that we can't group up and be on the same team and get into the match at the same time,
that's
seriously, like,
easily the most frustrating
all thing. My hopes and dreams about it being live multiplayer were kind of squashed, because I'm like, yeah, there's other people here, but we can't really choose anything.
Yeah, there's no squad, there's no team.
And you could start your own server, which I did, put a bunch of maps in there, but then, like, you just have to wait for people to show up.
Yeah.
So we're facing bots for a half hour, and then two people come in, and then they quit.
Yeah, it's gonna... Yeah.
It's fucked.
The matchmaking part, that can be the downfall of any game. Because it could be really fun, but if I get in there and I don't get to choose my side, and I don't get to choose my... Like, who plays with me?
Right.
What's
auto-assign only.
Literally, what's the point?
Bummer, man.
I want to beat the bad guys with my friends. I don't want to, hey, am I going to be against you? Should we kill each other? yeah.
A couple pros, though, like being able to play the assault mode with all the heroes on any map you want is cool. And I saw that there was a couple Battlefront 1 maps that had got moved over to Battlefront 2. Like there's a Bespin map in there and stuff. Like
fuck from the first one. That Bespin map's a great map.
I haven't played Battlefront 1 yet in the collection. We just jumped right into 2. So maybe the first one is better. I don't know.
I always liked the first. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't. I'm telling you right now, no, you didn't.
You couldn't be heroes, so that sucks. But aside from that, I feel like I always liked the first one better.
The first one was pretty bad.
Both Naboo maps, I prefer. The loading screen is better.
Just the field?
No, the...
The Naboo map on the first one was the Gungan field.
Yeah, the Gungan field.
So it's just a hill,
and
okay.
And the palace is the same one. Maybe I'm thinking of a different world then.
The palace map. Yeah, the palace map's in both, right?
Yeah, yeah. So maybe I'm thinking of a different world.
Nubian. Tatooine?
Nubian. There was that other Tatooine map with the Sarlacc pit. That was a sweet map.
In Jabba's... Palace?
No. In the first one, out in the dunes with the Sarlacc pit, and all the Jawas are running around.
Mm.
Or sand people.
Yeah.
You remember that?
No, I don't.
The Sarlacc, a tentacle would come out and just randomly swipe you and kill you?
It was literally the Gungan Naboo map just in sand. And they put, it's the exact same map. The one hill.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then you got the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that, because it did have the rock formations and the Sarlacc. It's coming. It's all coming in. Yeah. Yep.
Coming back to you.
Yeah. The maps, see, that's what's key to the game is the maps and the characters. Because it's always fun to watch Anakin fight some freak that you know. Ki-Adi.
any of the freaks.
I'm just saying any of the freaks. General.
It is what it is. I would almost rather, like...
Can we play co-op?
Yeah, there is split screen.
And we can do the conquest? Because that's...
No.
There's no
not, there's campaign? Not, like, online co-op for the campaign. I think there's split screen.
Come on.
The problems just expound.
That's where it would be fun. The other stuff, it works. Yeah, I mean, you don't get to pick your sides and everything, but it's still, you get out there, you run and shoot, you become a fucking Jedi. It's fun.
But it already worked for $5.
But you're right. But it would, that's what I'm saying. For $35, I would have loved to be able to do co-op with you online, and we can conquer the galaxy as a couple fucking CIS droids.
As father and son.
Yeah.
Make things the way we want them to be.
Droids, sir.
Yes.
You know what this is going to make me do is go back and play the newer Battlefront 2 because it's actually fucking good.
It is, yeah. Once they added that Celebration Edition and put the co-op in there, it was really good. It's like we're dealing with a game that's 20 years old and people can already play it and mod it and whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're going to re-release it, you have to do these core things that's just going to make it fun and replayable over and over again. Otherwise, what's the point? I'm mad that I bought it now. I should have waited for the review. I was like, I already love those games. If it's exactly the same and in 1080, like I'm going to pay for it and it's worth it.
Yeah.
But I am regretting my decision.
Yeah. It's been leaving a poor taste in my mouth. The it makes me not want to buy a game new ever again. And it's not this. It's not just this game.
I know. It's been happening like
Starfield.
I know.
What the fuck am I doing?
I know. I know.
So it makes me want to just wait like 2 months, which maybe by then the buzz will be gone. But it doesn't matter. I'm usually. This is how bad it's gotten. We haven't got a great Battlefield in a minute.
Right.
The new Battlefront remake kind of sucks. I was straight up looking at maybe getting like a newer Call of Duty just for a nice run and gun. Because I haven't played Call of Duty since like Modern Warfare 3. That's like 15 years ago.
The new ones are all Battle Royale style though.
All of them?
I don't think, maybe not exclusively.
I thought there was like a Black Ops 3 something. I'm
hearing these things peripherally.
And I've heard a lot of the newer ones are dog shit, so we'd have to choose. Also, they remade like Modern Warfare 2.
I did watch a review about that and it was not well received.
Oh, really? I saw the opposite. Maybe there was another one that they remade.
Maybe I'm thinking of 3 then.
Yeah.
Modern Warfare 3.
But that might be something to consider if they've updated one of the CODs. And you know I like that survival mode on Modern Warfare 3.
That's the only one that had it, though.
Yeah, Modern Warfare 3. That was fun because, the juggernauts would start coming out, and then it was dogs, juggernauts, and fuckers, and dogs, juggernaut, juggers, and...
Dog fuckers and juggernaut. And
dog fuckers.
And, juggernaut dogs.
And helicopters and
fucker helicopters.
Fucker.
Also, the Spec Ops mode in Modern Warfare 2 was awesome as well.
I don't remember that. God, before I forget...
That was fun.
One of my favorite things on the old Battlefront 2 was playing Capture the Flag as Galactic on the Death Star.
Yeah.
Because it was Luke versus Palpatine. Sidious.
Yeah.
And Sidious, I mean, because it's all endless pits. So you would just float over the pits with the fucking flag.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, it was so fun.
Cheat code.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff. I mean, like I said, hopefully they patch the fuck out of it and it'll be okay.
Can we play multiplayer Capture the Flag?
I think so, yeah. There's Conquest, Capture the Flag, and Assault on all the maps.
Conquest?
Like, that's just like the regular one. Mm-hmm. Not Galactic Conquest. Just like the regular
Deathmatch, you're saying. Yeah, Deathmatch is the other one.
It's not Deathmatch.
But wasn't there a Deathmatch one that it was just based off kills?
That's a good question.
The first to like 200 kills? I thought that was...
That's a good question.
It's actually not a great question, but...
It's a decent... I mean, if it's true, fuck. I hear you on the games, though. I'm pretty much... Yeah, I'm going to hold off on buying stuff brand new unless I'm...
Unless I know... I mean, even...
Like, I'm going to get the Elden Ring DLC.
Easy. That's one. Easy money.
But everything else that ever comes out from now until the end of time, I'm going to wait a couple weeks and get the review.
$70 for Kyle Katarn.
See what Video Game Donkey and Actman have to say about it before I purchase it.
But the other thing that does suck, and I was just criticizing this last week, is I don't want to rely on other people's opinions of a game. Because people do shit just to shit.
Well, I hear you to a certain point.
Yeah, but there's also like online's so weird because now there's like a counterculture of like calling out the shitters, and so you don't know who to really believe and
shitting on the shitters, dude.
You gotta shit.
You gotta shit. Everyone's gotta shit.
But yeah, I mean,
no, it's like the industry breaks your trust so many times in a row. That
but
it's
like, how often is IGN that far off? Probably not that very often. So maybe I'll just base it on there.
I feel like IGN is one of I don't know anything about. I only play like 4 games in the past decade. I don't know. Just again, what I've heard is they're one of those that like will get paid off by to give them a favorable review, like you know, label pays the radio station to play the song.
Yeah,
it's one of those deals, or so I've heard. But every once in a while, they'll they'll market the fuck.
Yeah, they'll accurately
I was trying to pull out a quote and I couldn't do it.
Hi, Mark.
They'll mark one correct, like Baldur's Gate, which we looked up last week, and it was 10 out of 10 perfect. Masterpiece. Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like Elden Ring was like a 9 something. Like, they got a couple of them right. I think even Jedi Survivor was like a high 8. So it was like, they got something.
Yeah.
And I should probably actually sit down and not just look at the number that they threw up there, but actually read the fucking article and be like, oh, should I buy this? Instead of being like, 7, maybe I'll buy, and then I'll walk away.
7, I'll wait till it goes on sale. They should just adopt our old beer review rating system, which is super easy.
Yeah.
3, buy it. Don't even question it.
That's 3, buy. 2, wait. 1, Maybe if it gets down to $5, zero is don't fucking ever do it.
Yeah, one is that like if it's in your favorite genre.
If someone gives you the game, throw it in their back in their face.
If someone tried to throw it away and you like took the trash out and saw it.
Just shit.
Except everything's digital, so that doesn't even work. Bummer, man.
Is that a little bit, I mean, I know we're aging ourselves. Isn't that a little sad that like physical media is just, dude, I feel like we're in such a weird time that physical media became a huge thing during our time and right. then also dissolved yeah. in our time. Like the cassettes were really riding high and then CDs came out and DVDs and then we're like, Blu-ray. Fuck all that. Download.
Right.
And you're like, what the fuck happened?
It's a love-hate thing, you know? Like, I love collecting vinyls, but if I'm going to listen to music, I'd say 8 times out of 10, I'm just going to pull Spotify and listen
it's
to something.
So easy because I don't have to fuck with it every half hour.
Every 20 dude, sometimes minutes, sometimes.
It's, yeah, and it's like, dude, I just put it on. I don't feel like flipping this thing.
Like, we'll try to put the record player on if we're having, like, parties or whatever, and it's like every conversation I have yeah. to... Wait, hang on. I got to flip the disc.
Yeah, it does suck.
But like I said, I get it more of a from a collector's point of view. Like we mentioned last week that Andor and Kenobi are coming out on Steelbook. Even if I never buy something that I can put that Blu-ray into, I'm still going to get the Steelbook as a collector's item. You know what I mean? So it's certain things like that. Now, vinyls have blown up now. Because everything's digital and like CDs don't matter anymore, vinyls are now like a giant collector's item. Like every band, the day their album comes out, they have a vinyl version of it. Where for a while, that wasn't happening.
Do you think CDs will ever hit that collector's point?
No.
I mean, cassettes have even come back. Have you seen that?
I have not.
Large bands, Metallica, they created like all of their stuff back on cassettes.
So. Really? That's weird. No,
it is a weird
know.
One. It's a niche market, but like at this point, why the fuck not? I guess.
I mean, it's like the debate about analog versus digital. It's like to me, the thing the vinyl is cool is like
it's
there's
different.
Literally waveforms cut into a piece of wax, and that's fucking cool. Yeah. That's like some weird like
well cut late cut into vinyl.
Well, yeah, well, vinyl wax. Yeah, whatever.
Well, vinyl
wax.
I think wax was used in ancient times for this shit. Have you ever seen those wax cylinders?
I have this wax fucking ancient Egypt banger.
I seriously think they're just vinyl.
I know what you mean, but I thought.
Put it on waxes and all, because very old, I could be wrong, very old vinyls were wax, because there's, at one point, the wax cylinders.
I think it's just.
I have a couple of those.
I think it's just slang. So, like, those are, like, old vinyl cylinders.
Yeah.
I think it's just slang. Like, the same way you could call an album a record, even though it's not a record. That's, like slang in the industry, you know? So, like, here's my new record, even though it's not on a record.
Oh.
It's on Spotify. You know what I mean?
Album.
But you still call it that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we sound real old tonight. This shit sucks.
No, I'm happy with it. We have the best of both worlds. We have like, because I never thought there would be a day where like my somewhat underground favorite heavy metal bands would be releasing like a 4-disc collector's vinyl with their new albums.
Yeah.
So I can get that and I can also pull up every song that's ever been recorded ever and play it. I can have both.
Even ones that haven't been recorded, they're on there.
Exactly. I can like literally turn up the fucking security camera in the studio watching someone record something.
Yep.
Actually, I was joking, but people do often live stream when they're composing and writing music. Cool. So you literally can do that.
Let's start a record.
No. Don't want to do that. Wait, start a record?
Just a record.
Were you going to finish that?
Right now. No, let's start rapping.
We actually do. Actually, if you want to get very specific, we did put out an album with all of like the background music and the intro music.
Yeah.
So if you look for Rogue Squadron on Spotify, you can see the podcast and you can also see our album.
It's fun. Actually, I do so much driving that sometimes I will just put on nonsense like that and it'll just vibe.
It is nonsense.
It'll just vibe though. Because this at this point, this music is so familiar for us that it's not even like music. It's just kind of like
it's
vibes.
Atmosphere. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like having a white noise machine on.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar.
What?
So Acolyte, what else, man?
I watched it once.
Acolyte.
Your initial thoughts. Do you want me to go first? Because I feel like you have made up your mind on something. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I was like,
You're already going into
I was just going to preface. I was partially being a shitter on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't hate it. I was kind of like just being shitty for no reason.
Then do you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
I thought it looked great. I thought it kept it. It built up. See, this, it felt like an old school trailer that wasn't giving us dick. It was just like, hey, this is what it's kind of about. Here's some Jedi. Here's the times.
Like, not giving us like, and there's a story or information or anything. Right, right, yeah.
Which is what we've kind of needed. Because they've always given 80% of the fucking story away in the trailer. And then we get to the movie and we're like, yeah, I've already seen all this. You've put out four trailers. The entire fucking movie is into four trailers.
Or even worse, this cool thing was in the trailer and you took it out of the final
cut. It out. I felt like this was very close to the chest. Sure, it wasn't like the big splash that we're used to. But I do think there was some vibe stuff. The old martial arts.
Yes.
Training stuff with the younglings and how it wasn't all just think this way, do this action, whip out the lightsaber and block these blasters.
Right.
It was, what do you feel? I don't even know if that's what he was asking, but it was something along those lines. Like, yeah, what? Yeah. Close your eyes, tell me what you feel.
Right.
And they were all saying different things, but it was cool because it was like, It's a cool idea that we are all individuals, and even in the Star Wars universe, like, you may, be powerful in this area, or you may be knowledgeable in that, and it's all different. And let's tailor this so you have your strength over here, and you mm-hmm. and we all even understand our own weaknesses.
Right.
And I feel like it's a vibe that was completely lost in the Jedi of the movies. Where it was just like, no, we all do the same thing, and if you don't meet the standards, get the fuck out, or we'll just send you off with Anakin, and he'll get you killed. So, which they tried to with Ahsoka, and she just fucking was a badass enough to live.
Yep.
I like the idea that everything's hunky-dory. It's some straight, like, late 40s, early 50s, like, everything's just happy, leave it to Beaver. But there's a fucking yeah. Then like the Charles Manson, like someone's out there.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, because now we know. And let me hold my britches. Now we know it's not going to be Palpatine. He hasn't returned because he can't come back.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
He might be in there.
So it sounded like the vendetta or the conflict was the killer was. It sounded like they were fighting over how the Force should be used. It said something along the lines of, like, the power should be used, or some people wield the power that shouldn't, or something along those lines, that, like, the power struggle of how and what the Force should be used for.
Right.
Which is cool, because we've never been in that flux. It's always been light or dark. And they tried to gray it a little bit with the later movies, but
yeah,
I did think. And before we get into, we're kind of just queuing it up on.
I want to screen share it, but like, I'm worried my computer's going to self destruct. So
I will. If I'm going to throw some shade, it did seem a tad low budget, but this, like, that looks great. I'm happy, and honestly, that's what Star Wars has always been, is just a tad low budget.
Just a tad.
It has, like, at the same point of
heralded as the best single, like, evolution in special effects in the industry
when it first started.
I know.
Not, it has not broken anything since 99.
I feel like, yeah, 77 and 99 were huge.
99 was probably the first, like, grand.
But then once we get to episode 7, it's like there's been so many Marvel movies, yeah, that we're like, we're used to it now. Yeah,
it's like a simplistic view. Even
someone
even
is
the killer
Jedi.
Even the killer's using a fucking dagger, and you're like, this is kind of cool.
Oh, there's plenty of really cool stuff. I have only a couple thoughts that I'm like,
okay.
We'll get to it. I will say one thing. This is not a bad thing. It was odd seeing so many Jedi on screen at the same time, because the past decade or more, we've been used to, like, there's two Jedi and everyone's dead and they're trying to figure it out. It was just weird to see once again, like, here's a dozen Jedi with their lightsabers out all at the same time.
I fucking
It was cool, but I was like, whoa, man, it's just like, we haven't seen that in fucking how long?
But that's what it feels like, almost like a SWTOR trailer, where those SWTOR trailers would just all of a sudden you'd see like 20 lightsabers.
Right. This isn't about good or bad. This is about power.
See?
And who is allowed to use
yes!
it.
Yes!
Yeah, so I mean, I'm like...
come on.
Someone that sees the Jedi as a problem 1,000 years before Palpatine saw them as a problem.
But it's like they may be abusing power, or...
I just thought of the best ending.
Yeah.
It's slightly vague. I'm just talking about like that, like if the Jedi go through this conflict, someone's trying to get at them because they don't like how they're using their power of the Force or whatever. If they resolve the conflict and then make some decision to start to like constrict the Jedi Order, and we see that decision that led them towards the next 1,000 years, like leading towards Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because of this like big attack, you know, like they almost took down the Jedi Order, we have to hunker down, like no emotion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, this is a great transition too. So we'll keep doing this, but this is going to spiral into my next topic, actually.
Call me, Dave.
Yeah, you're right, because this could be basically the building blocks of what the Jedi Order is
and how
that we see in episode one.
Yeah, like they win, they don't, like they fend off the dark power or whatever.
But the permanent change
is bad.
Yeah, the disconnect from relationships, disconnect from families, I mean, all of it. Like, hey, were you fucking smiling in the corridor? We're going to cut you in half because no smiling. It's so weird.
Just take your lips off.
Well, you're onto something there, because it's like, let's take the emotion out of the human. Well, and aliens or whatever species. Let's take the humanity out of the aliens.
Take the aliens out of the humans.
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead. What are you trying to get
no,
at?
No, I like the, because this is literally, and I'll get into, I put it on our topic list here.
Oh, yes.
This is along the exact same lines of what I was, and I was going from the other end. And I'll explain a little bit here in a minute. But no, I like the idea that in the end of The Acolyte, the good guys win, but they put in like a fucking list of rules during this event or whatever that like sets forward, hey, like let's just be goofy about it. One of the Jedi has a fucking girlfriend that the Jedi Order doesn't like, and she's trying to pull him away, and they said, you can't have a fucking girlfriend. So she goes crazy and was like, no, the Jedi are fucking evil. They won't even let... And that's where like it could just spiral out of control from there on both ends, because then the guy Jedi is going to be pissed, because he's like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about, Master Yoda? Like, I guess he could still be there.
I think he might be in there.
I assume that's going to be the big drop. I didn't want to say that out loud, but whatever. It's already out there. But it'd be cool. What about this is a great way, and I know it's like, Mopar, shut the fuck up. How many times are you going to bring this guy up? But it would be a great way, either Bane or Revan, for it's all light. It's all good until one thing goes bad, and then they start making fucking rules and someone goes searching for something. Same thing as Anakin. You can't do that. You can't do that. Well, I got to save my fucking wife, so I got to go to the bad guy to get the good shit. Does that make sense? No, but it does.
It does.
It
does. It needs the.
But
curse,
it'd be cool if someone did go on a search for what else is out there about this power that the Jedi are wielding and building rules around. Can't do that. Can't do that. Hey, let's not go there. Restricted section. It's over there for a reason. You don't have the key. Yep. Fuck off, Batromatus. You can't do it.
That's why I loved, not to cut you off, that's why I love Baylan in Ahsoka so much.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we love Qui-Gon Jinn.
Right.
He was an outlier that, on the surface, he was just a good dude. And he just didn't agree with all the laws and rules of the Jedi. And he really thought, like you guys are missing it.
Like James Bond.
You guys are all good-hearted, at the core, but you guys are completely missing it. This isn't about living by a set of rules. This is about being the best people or humans or, you know, Jedi. Person that we can be, which is very hoorah, fucking military. But I'm saying, like, having
all that you can be.
Having a reason to fight.
Yeah.
The family, a wife, you know, sibling, whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
is the purpose. The purpose isn't the list of rules we created.
Right.
Which is, I think, is where they all got lost.
Exactly.
Yeah, anything else? Because this is going to spiral into exactly. The other thing was once someone gets pissed and they go searching for what else is out there as far as the Force, it would be nice to come across something that, like, Bane is not even there, but on a holocron saying, this is what I came across, this is what I experienced. You could use this, you couldn't, whatever the fuck you want to do. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
But it'd be a nice, like, not only tip of the hat, but to, like, reintroduce someone like Revan or Bane with a really nice purpose that they don't have to recreate the backstory.
Right.
You could still assume a lot of the Legends stuff with one of those characters.
Yeah.
And then I would even assume to this day that one, like, they've made holocrons. And in Legends, they did.
Yeah, they definitely did.
Well, Bane like, found Revan's.
We're not getting a flashback with Darth Bane.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's not what we need.
We're just getting an Easter egg with, yeah.
But a little bit of teaching from Darth Bane.
I would love more holocrons in general. Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah, definitely.
Be great.
All right. Go ahead and spiral it into your thing. I have some more thoughts about the trailer itself, but we can
also. Yeah, this will be fairly quick because we kind of just spelled it out. But it was exactly what we just described, but in reverse with the Skywalker sagas. Well, at least with the OT and. So Anakin and Luke. So the downfall of Anakin was they basically forbade him to have a wife, have a relationship, even though that was like what made him strong. He wanted to save his friends. He wanted to save his mother. He wanted to save his wife. And they're like, you shouldn't even have those things to save because fuck you. Because you wear our fucking underoos. You're not allowed to do that. And you're like, dude, what the fuck? I learned all this, and I'm the goddamn Jesus of this bitch. I should be able to save some fuckers. Not only should I be able to save these, you fuckers should help me.
Yeah.
Let's help each other be, like, a unit. Like, I, you know, I'm just saying. Instead, and I point to Yoda says, no, you need to disconnect from all that, you know, terrible feelings, dark side, clouded, fucking bullshit.
That's exactly what Yoda sounds like.
And then Yoda tries to do the same shit with Luke when they're on Dagobah in episode 5.
Yeah, Luke,
and Luke
Yoda
says,
didn't learn shit.
Luke, exactly. And I think that's what finally clicked with Yoda. And I really believe that's why he dies in episode 6. Because he finally just lets that go. And he's like, it's not about that. It is about having relationships and being a good person and making a difference on a small level. So it was a big shift from we grew up with episode 1.
Yeah.
Let's create the galaxy and create the rules that you got to live by. And then with the downfall, it was like the personal breakdown of obviously why the Jedi went wrong, but even Yoda still hadn't learned his lesson.
Right.
And he was trying to force the old ways on Luke. And Luke's like, you know what, Yoda? My friends are in trouble, and I hear them, and I have the ability to help them, so fuck you. Yeah. I'm flying out of this bitch. And Yoda even then was just like, it was our last hope. Or no, there still is another. So he was still holding on to Leia.
Obi-Wan said it was our last
hope. I'm still getting fired up over here.
It's okay.
But it was like, Yoda, you should tell him to go help. He can make a difference.
Wouldn't it be nice if the Jedi Masters could learn that important lesson before they fucking died? I feel like all the Jedi, once they finally give, like, the lesson, they're already dead. They're a Force ghost. They come back and be like, you know, I was kind of wrong about that. You should probably do that. It's like, can you just fucking figure that out first?
But think about this.
While there's still a Padawan.
When did Obi-Wan die? When he was going out of his way, not to face Vader. It was a distraction so Luke and Leia and Han could get away on the Death Star.
Yeah.
He finally, and even if it's indirect, that's what happened. He sacrificed himself to save his friends.
Right.
That's why he disappeared instead of getting cut in half. Because he finally became one with that idea.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, is helping each other on a very basic level.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that might be what Yoda did. And finally, it didn't even click in episode 5 when Luke left because he was still pissed. He's like, you got to finish your training. You got to face Vader. That's not what it's fucking about. I'm here to save my friends.
But it does come back because Luke does the same thing in episode 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
He projects and distracts Kylo so that the rest of the resistance can escape.
And then he fucking disappears.
Force ghost. Yeah, you become one with the Force once you finally fucking realize that.
Yeah. It's not about this cult that you create. It's not about this group of laws that you created. It's not even about the laser swords or all the shit that you... It's about this community that you build and how you help each other. And even in turmoil or strife or war, it's not about just beating the bad guy. It's about assisting others. And I feel like that's where... Especially the Clone Wars. I mean, that's muddied water to begin with because fuckers puppeteering both sides. So it's, it's a lose-lose. But yeah.
But on the individual level, you still get that.
But like I said, on an individual level, for the Jedi that are still around, the Yodas and the Obi-Wans, I feel like they were still stuck in it.
Yeah, they're trying to cleanse away that like individual spirit from all of their teachings.
Yeah.
It's like every Jedi has to act like the Jedi as a whole in order for this to work, no matter what.
Yeah.
And then every time somebody comes up that did the first part of their life without being a Jedi, without that teaching, without knowing what the Force was, they're grounded in something different. That way, when they finally come to like learn the Jedi way or join the, I almost said academy, join the council or whatever, they're the ones that flip it on its head. Like Anakin had 10 years before he started. Luke had 19. Rey had 19. Like it's all those people that started with like kind of a shitty life. Always, you know, junkers on the sand planet, of
course.
But
it's those people that have nothing that have to go out of their way, not only for them, well, not only for others, but for themselves.
They all lost something before they got into it.
Yeah.
So they have more of that personal struggle, I guess, to kind of, as their foundation. They can't really get rid of it.
How and where I can make a difference with what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And I think, Anakin mostly, but Anakin was just a puppet of the Jedi. Like, oh, he's powerful. He can crush a tank with his mind. So go over there and crush fucking tanks, bitch. And wear our fucking Jedi badge while you're at it so you can be the poster boy. But, like, he could have also, and he does.
I don't know.
He does. He saves a lot of people while he's defeating the enemy. Like, he goes out of his way to save the clones. He goes out of his way to save...
I think he goes out of his way to go smash tanks, too, though.
Well, just think of what Palpatine tries to do in episode 3 at the very beginning. Obi-Wan gets tossed and stuck under some stairs right away.
Yeah.
And after everything happens, even Palpatine's like, no, leave him. That's not how fucking Anakin rolls.
Exactly, dude. Anakin's going to die trying to save
him. That was like an early attempt at him just like switching him right then and there.
Right.
Because he saw him go to the dark side.
Or maybe he's just curious and he's testing him.
Well, he's obviously testing him. But I mean, that's the downfall, was just like, no, because that's a very almost Jedi thing to do.
Exactly.
At that point is, no, leave him. We got to save.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Let's leave Obi-Wan because he's
for the greater good.
The greater good.
Yeah, this is like a fucking... This is like the culmination of every Spider-Man movie. It's like the villain makes Spider-Man be like, you can save your girlfriend or you can save the entire city of New York. And somehow Spider-Man ends up being able to do both.
Yeah. Because
most of the time.
Because he's a superhero.
Right.
These are Jedi. These guys can do both.
Right.
I saved the fucking Palpatine, beat the bad guy,
cut off
and picked up my drunk friend off the ground. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I've got half a ship. Yeah. Exactly. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, dude. They gotta leverage that. I feel like it's the Jedi's like individual spirit that makes them, this is kind of getting into it. It's not dark side, but you know how they say like the emotion and the anger makes you stronger in the dark side?
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of along the same lines, but it's more, it's like the friendship and whatever.
You're getting there.
That makes them stronger in the light side. Yeah. And the Jedi are trying to squash that because they think there's something wrong with it. But because if everybody just fucking focused on that and leveraged it, everyone would be pulling Anakin's.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
It's the reason. I'm going to go...
Well, like you said, in 5, the only reason... If Luke stayed on Dagobah and kept training and his friends died, I bet you he would not have been able to...
He would have been a fucking shell of himself.
Exactly.
And he would never would have brought Vader back.
Right.
Because that's what brought Vader back, was... Anakin went, or I'm sorry, Luke went all the fucking way, denied Yoda, and then stood in front of Palpatine and said, fuck you, my dad's right here. I still know he is. And that's what turned him, because he went to those ultimate lengths to just to save his dad, who no one in the universe believed in. Not even Vader himself believed that Anakin was still there.
Right.
But Luke did all that with everyone saying no. Yoda said no. Don't fucking... You just got to go face
do
Vader.
It anyways.
So literally, he was screaming, you must face Vader. What the fuck does that mean? Go play Parcheesi?
Chess match.
Chess match.
Space
I'm
chess.
Just saying, it's... Yeah, it, on such like a base level...
That's what makes the hero, though.
It's the... it's Yeah. It, there's It's the purpose. Why are we going to war? Not to beat the bad guys. We're going to war to save our friends and family at home. Mm-hmm. And to save the next planet that's going to get fucked by these bad guys. Mm-hmm. I'm not going out there just to kill them and say, hey, look what the fuck I did.
Right.
You're absolutely right. On an individual level. And that's where they got rid of. We're not individuals anymore. We're Jedi. We're right. all one thing. Yeah. And that just doesn't work because they are all individuals.
Exactly.
And that's what they ignored the whole fucking time.
It's true. It's fucking true.
Didn't need me to get all philosophical.
Sometimes you do.
It's nice.
You gotta keep Star Wars interesting.
Dude, it's crazy that all this shit that we just talked about was OT and prequels. This stuff's over. It's like 20 years old at minimum.
Well, it's that mythology, man. You go, my daughter was watching Cinderella, and I was just thinking of like the tropes and the fairy godmother and the evil stepmom. And I was like, everything is just repeated with a different spin and a different face. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, Tony Stark is Batman, essentially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From a certain point of view, Anakin is Luke, is Rey. They're all the same.
Yeah. So all this to say, fuck Yoda.
Like I said, I just wish these old fucks could figure that out before they died.
What if?
I mean, I guess that's, again, part of the trope, but yeah.
What if these fucking building blocks of the laws and the rules around the Jedi were hand-created by Yoda himself 700 years ago when Acolyte happens? They're going to throw Yoda in there, and he's going to see some shit, and he's going to decide.
Yeah, like I said.
No more girlfriends.
This was so destroying ourselves that we have to put these rules in place right now.
No one's allowed to do anything.
Dude, it's almost like the light side version of Palpatine taking control of the Empire. It's like, I almost got killed. Everyone's on lockdown. We're an Empire now, and I'm in control. Like, Yoda would just be doing, like, the flip side of that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Keepers of the peace.
At all.
There's a war? Grab your swords.
They're going straight communist, dude.
Keepers of the peace. See, that's a weird one, too, because that's just a... Like, if you're just a Force-sensitive, the fuck does keepers of the peace mean? I'm trying to make my way through life, and I can lift some rocks. Like, what the fuck does keepers of the peace mean to anybody that's a non-Jedi?
Back to Spider-Man. It's with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Everything is Spider-Man.
Who the fuck is Yoda? Like...
Drunk ass.
We all shit on prequels because a lot of those characters are very surface level and like trying to explain some of those prequel characters. And you can throw the sequels in there. Like they're kind of surface level.
The characters are a lot more plot device rather than like...
Actual...
Getting super,
fleshed
super
out,
deep.
Yeah, yeah. Characters. Yoda, I feel like, fits that to a fucking T.
Mm-hmm.
You're just, he's a master. But yeah, but is he, well, I mean, you could say he's wise, but was he? Because he was fucking wrong the whole fucking, both trilogies he was wrong until he died.
Yeah, dude, what kind of good advice
Keeping
has Yoda
secrets.
Ever given?
He kept fucking secrets. And for good reason to keep the Skywalker kids away from Palpatine. But why train Luke this whole fucking time and know that he has a sister and then not tell him until the very... Like, that's almost what released him and became one of the Force. He's like, oh, I should probably stop lying to this kid. There is another Skywalker.
Left him a safe with all of his notes all of his secrets.
Literally his last words. There is another Skywalker.
He barely got it out, too.
And then he disappears.
at the last second, he was like, maybe I should.
He almost went to Jedi hell, and then he finally got that out, and then his body disappeared. And he's like,
if
God.
He hadn't finished that word, he would be burning in hell. Skywalk. No Force Ghost.
There was no Skywalk. What the fuck?
Oh, dude. Yeah, that's another trope, man. I was just, when you said that he was keeping secrets all over the place, it reminded me of that show Foundation that I just watched, where the guy's like, he comes up with a mathematical model that like predicts how like cultures like shift, mm-hmm. and you know they'll rise, they'll be like a big disaster, and they crumble, and then it's like a, you know, dark age or whatever. Yeah. So he comes up with this, and he's like, "Everyone's fucked. The empire's gonna fall in like 100 years. We need to start prepping right now." And people are like, "You're crazy. You're like, you know, a psycho. Yeah. You're gonna turn everyone against us." What's the word? Exile. Send him in exile.
Yeah.
But he's working through all this shit, and like, he's, you know, he's giving out plans, but he's not giving out all the plans. Because he's like, if I give them too much information, then they're going to know what happens in the future. And if they try to, like, make the future come true, they're going to fuck it up, and it's going to go a different direction, and we're going to be screwed.
The future's in motion. Everybody should know that by now.
But it's the same thing as the Jedi being like, oh, they have that vision. Anakin's trying to stop his vision from coming true. And in so doing, he makes it come true.
But it's coming true regardless. That's what people don't get. You have a vision for a reason. It's coming fucking true. Now, between now and then, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
I don't know. What if you just sat and meditated for a year? Would it still come true?
What do you mean? She was already pregnant.
No, yeah. Okay.
She's going to die in pregnancy. That's what's fucking happening.
No matter what?
Yeah. He tried to stop it, and look what fucking happened. He ended up causing it. Now,
that's what I mean. What if he had taken Yoda's advice? Would something different have happened?
What was Yoda's advice to Anakin?
Detach yourself so that you're not so fucking pissed off.
Don't have a wife.
Well,
your wife can't die if you don't have one, so just walk that way.
If she's going to die, you have to accept it, and like, it's going to suck, but just...
Yeah.
What does he say? Train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose.
Do you think... And maybe it's naive of me.
I'm just saying, would that...
Do you think Yoda knew that he had a wife?
Yoda probably knows everything, dude.
We just talked about the last half hour of how dumb Yoda was and how he fucked
everything.
He's making
the wrong moves. But I'm sure there's a lot of like inside information that he knows and isn't like giving out.
So is he smart or wise or neither or both?
All.
He's null, neither all.
I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things where, I don't know, there's a trope where you're trying to keep a secret and your dad knows, but he doesn't say anything. And then finally, like when something bad happens, like you go to him for advice and you don't even tell him. And he just like,
he already knows. He's telling you the answer that was to the question that the lie you haven't even told him. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. He's fixing the
Yoda
issue.
Could be doing that kind of shit. So like maybe he did know who Anakin was referring to and in more detail. Maybe he knew it was exactly Padme and he was trying to give him actual good advice.
It's all from
the one time he gives him good advice.
Yeah, yeah. It's of course all a certain point of view, because train yourself to let go. Does that mean I shouldn't try go to save my wife? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, but you just said if he tries too hard to save his wife, he's going to make it worse.
But it's all point of view, man. That's why this is so great, because if Anakin took it as accept the fate,
yeah,
instead of let's try to change the future,
right?
It's a very different outcome, because regardless, she's dying. But one of them, I feel like he would remain a Jedi. The other one, he becomes Darth Vader.
The one time Yoda gives good advice. That's what I mean.
Yeah, you got to listen with both ears, Anakin. What the fuck are you doing? I don't know what the fuck that means, but it sounded wise as fuck.
You're the next Yoda, dude. I've foreseen it.
I've foreseen it.
But don't act on what I've foreseen, because you will fuck it up.
Yep.
I do love stuff like that, though. That's why I did like that show Foundation, where it's like not even time travel per se, but it's weird. Like, I predicted the future, but if I try to act and make that happen, it's going to fuck it up. Something different is going to happen. Same thing like with Anakin's dream that we were just talking about, his vision.
The crazy thing is...
I love when that happens in shows.
The crazy thing is...
Or Cersei's vision in Game of Thrones.
What was her vision?
This old crone predicts that she's going to become a queen, but then she's going to be like struck down by someone younger and more beautiful. Remember that? And then Marjorie comes through, and she tries so hard to like get her locked up, her and her brother, and then she ends up fucking
locked up.
Shame.
Yeah.
I go on and on.
It's almost pointless to know the future.
Almost.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because knowing it means you're going to try it. You're going to lean one way or the other that you probably wouldn't have. Yeah. You're going to try to either fix it or try to accept it, but try to prep for it. And it's still going to change things. And mm-hmm. it's going to happen regardless. So it's almost not, it's better not knowing.
Agreed.
Because you can't change it. That's the idea. Now, the happenings
in the fold.
The happenings in between will change, but the event will still happen. And that's what's a great thing about this. We're jumping. That's a great thing about what happened in the Terminator movies is they didn't prevent it; they delayed it, and it still fucking happened. And that's one of the coolest ideas.
Thank you. That's the one reason I do. I will stand up for the third one for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're. I mean,
I
that's,
just wanted to punch that in there.
Yeah, that's it's great because. They did make things better for a very short period of time, and then it still fucking happened, and you're like, what?
That reveal when he finally gets him into the like the hangar or the base or whatever, and they're like, what the fuck's going on? The shit's like 30 years old. No one's here. Everyone's dead. Oh, we're supposed to just survive the nuclear fallout.
Yep.
That was like a huge drop. I love that. I fucking love that shit.
I forgot that ending because it's the daughter of the guy.
And the guy that's like in charge of Skynet.
Yeah, and they all get into that bunker in like the mountains. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah,
because that's where it's misinterpreting. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're the chosen one. You got to live up to this list of abilities and everything and feats because that's what we created before you were fucking alive.
Yep.
And you have to. Sorry, yelling again, but it's
Mrs. Commander's pissed.
Yeah, rage, feel it.
Wonder what she's thinking up there. We're over here shouting about Yoda's visions. This fucking imaginary green CGI figure was wrong about goblins. Everything.
Goblins.
God. Oh, man.
Sorry. I love it.
So the Acolyte trailer, yeah.
I forgot about it already. Like I said, I only watched it once.
I'm hella hyped for two things. I'm hyped to see an era with a bunch of characters and scenarios and places that we have never seen before.
Don't know.
I know Yoda. Hopefully he makes like a cameo once or twice and not like a main character. But otherwise, we don't know what's going to happen. So I love that.
While we're there, how would you like for them to have the Yoda drop?
I wouldn't like it at all.
You really don't want them to? Because that would be nice too, to be honest.
I think they've already said that he's going to be...
I mean, it makes too much sense unless it's literally before him, which would be fine. But it would really, really be nice just to have no fucking ties. No fucking ties to the movies.
Yeah.
I'm almost tired of it. Like, they have to tie it in, and I know it's like, that's the whole point, but we know it ties in. So you don't have to prove it with a fucking character. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what I would foresee for Yoda.
Like, could he be a fucking youngling? What if we get like a Grogu-esque Yoda?
Yeah.
Just a little beyond. Maybe double the age of Yoda. Maybe he's 100.
Just learning to talk.
He's maybe teenage Yoda. Angsty I am.
Horny I am. Now he's like Groot. Every episode, he's like...
Wet dream I had.
What?
Turkey sandwich.
In it.
He is. Oh, man. I don't know. I actually don't have a thought in my mind about how Yoda might get worked in. So even though I know he's going to be there, maybe that'll be a nice surprise too. But I'm excited for it to be totally fresh. And the other thing is I'm excited for all the martial arts focus.
Yeah.
That was the coolest thing about the trailer for me.
Yeah. I'm not a big martial arts, I don't even say fan because I do enjoy it. I just am not knowledgeable at all. I've never even seen those old martial arts movies, mm-hmm. the big ones that everybody knows. I've never seen any of them.
Same. I'm an appreciator. I'm an outside appreciator.
Yes, that's how I am. So it is nice to, like, maybe this is a launching point for both of us where if we get into it, because it's obvious that there's a prominent presence of that built into this trailer.
But just think of all the cool shit that Chirrut Imwe was doing in Rogue One.
Yes.
And just imagine that's like the majority of the show. That's going to be fucking sweet.
Yeah, the training could get real fun. Yeah. Just think of the training stuff in the prequels. It was just like holding a saber and flicking it to the left and to the right. And you're like, what the fuck are they actually doing? Like, Yoda's training this class.
Yeah. Well, they're still young, man.
Yeah, but they were very young in the Acolyte trailer, and they were sitting there thinking thoughts.
They did have thoughts.
And it was like, ooh, this is, we're getting in.
The one kid did know. It was erased from the archive memory.
I see fire. That's what the one kid did.
Everyone's dying. I'm failing to pull up a specific reference in my head, but in martial arts, movies, scenes, whatever, when someone has weapons and the other person is unarmed and they have to, like, disarm the person with the weapons, what are you talking about? What? It was cool to see Carrie Ann Moss be like getting attacked and just using like the force to evade or block without pulling out the lightsaber. Mm-hmm. I know we did see 12 lightsabers, but it'd be nice to
yeah.
It'd be nice to see a bunch of like, yeah, force combat, hand to hand.
Also like the slew of
Terrence
lightsabers.
Terrence Kasi style.
A lot of different colors of lightsabers. It was fun.
Saw some yellow in there, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I saw an orange, I thought. I was thinking, what if Jedi had non serious visions.
None of them are serious.
Like that's almost an SNL skit. Like, what vision did you have? Well, just letting you know.
9/11.
Jabba the Hutt's uncle's gonna die on the crapper tomorrow. Just letting you know. There's no stopping that. We can go try to stop it, but it's inevitable.
Bank's foreclosing on my house tomorrow.
The bank's foreclosed.
I have foreseen it.
I'm gonna shit my pants later today. And I'm gonna make it happen.
Oh, jeez.
Do it. Do it.
Man, yeah. Okay, well, where are we at? June? June 4th or something like that?
Not far.
Not far.
Basically April right now.
Not far. Yoda, not far.
Yeah.
What did you say about BD droids?
I randomly came across that link, and it said that Disney's making AI-powered BD droids. Ooh. And they were on display at... I just thought, like, dude, this is next fucking level. We're basically in Star Wars at this point.
Well, I was loving this little Sphero R2 that I have.
Yeah.
I mean, it does some pretty cool stuff, but this is probably 7 years old at this point.
Yeah.
It came out right after Episode 7. So... however much progress they made since then, and now they're putting AI in there, it's pretty wild.
The fact that, yeah, it could, like, react to you and, like, sense how you're doing.
Sense if Jabba's uncle's going to die in the shitter. Dude, I do have, maybe because I'm just in a sci-fi mood, but I do have this, like, subconscious feeling that we are just getting real, real close. I saw SpaceX had a test launch on Monday or Tuesday or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw any of that. It was unreal. I mean, it's actually real. But it was unreal to see the cameras on the rocket and just watch it take off, leave the atmosphere. It's in space. You can see the fucking Earth. And then it goes back. And I was like, how the fuck is this happening right now? They're live streaming it from space. What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
That the Apple Vision headset looks fucking wild. I think Elon put his little Neuralink chip in somebody and they're controlling like a mouse
with their
like
mind.
Point and click with their brain for the first time.
Dude.
AI, droid. We're all gonna fucking die soon though. Skynet.
So nothing doesn't
Skynet.
Matter.
We just gotta be careful, man. It's gonna be Skynet.
Wouldn't it be cool to put like
yes.
I mean, they already have eye tracking technology, so it doesn't fucking matter. So say like if you incorporated like you use your eyes to click on shit, but I think they can literally do that without. I was gonna say like embed like a laser, like something that you couldn't even see.
Well, that's kind of what the Apple headset is.
Yeah, yeah. I've
so seen like that. You look at something and you do one of these. It's fucking it's unreal, man.
Yeah. See now it's gonna get to the point where just thinking about clicking is gonna click.
Exactly.
Your fingers are in it. You don't have to move.
If you have like the Neuralink thing and the headset, you don't have to move at all. It's just wild that it can recreate your exact environment in real time on a screen in front of your face so much that you could like walk around and not trip and die.
Yeah.
And that's the fucking first gen. We're going to be on Mars in like 15 years.
The prime time thing, this is how I see myself retiring is having a fucking small army of BD droids.
You sound, had to use it, the word army?
It sounded worse, yeah. All so right. Give me like 5 to 10 of them. Give me a few acres. Give me 10 acres, and I'll farm it. Actually, I won't. The fucking droids will.
I was going to say, the droids run around chickens.
It's
going to
be straight up the beginning of Rogue One.
Yeah.
I'm going to just lay like a black sand beach. I'll have my little corn droids and the wheat droids, and I'm just going to chill.
Then some Imperial officer just lands and starts cussing you out.
Yeah.
Shoot your wife.
And then it begins again.
That's the future, baby.
Heroes of the Empire, Mopa.
Dude, we are getting creepily close. I feel like we're going to be on Mars in like 15 years, and then the Reapers are going to show up in like 40 years. We got to be ready.
Yeah. Then again, we can't even fucking make it down to the Titanic yet.
That's true. How weird is that?
We're going to be able to go to get to Mars, and we're not still not going to have like...
How crazy is that, man? Elon just needs to start a submersible company, and he'll figure it out. Make it happen. I mean, James Cameron's gone down a bunch of times and been safe.
Has he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went down a bunch during the filming, and then he...
I thought it was a wired droid. Like, he went down to a certain depth, and then from there, it was like a attached droid that went down with a camera.
I think he went down there. He went deeper than that, too. He's out of control.
So deep.
Balls
deep. Balls. James Cameron balls deep. Google.
He almost did that. I almost did that. Let me see if I can read this real quick without boring the hell out of all of you.
Oh, well, I'm bored.
I'm bored as shit. Deep Sea Challenger. I don't know. I can't read all this shit.
Graphs and pictures.
Literally. Did James Cameron... I can't. You might be right.
I don't think... I am in my head, I'm imagining exactly what they did in the movie. Like, they like got close, and then they sent a little droid with two clamps down there and took pictures and...
This says this wasn't Cameron himself, but this is somebody else. A naval officer piloted his submarine to 35,000 feet below surface. Deepest dive on record, exploring the Mariana Trench.
Fuck that.
Death Clock style.
There's yeah. Let's go record an album. I told you, we should.
Oh, yeah, and James Cameron did the same dive. Yep.
Wow.
That's insane, man. That's insane. Like, you have to really trust that thing's not gonna... You have figured out everything to the T that you trust yourself. Otherwise, you're dead.
One thing can't go wrong.
One little screw comes loose.
Just like the Jedi Order.
That is weird when you phrase it like that. I'm gonna put myself like 10 or 15 years in the future. I feel like if the tech is really good, I would be more comfortable going into space than I would Absolutely. Be going under the ocean.
Yeah. And you can't live in space a single fucking bit more than in the, it's the exact. If one screw goes wrong, you're it's the exact right. same. Right. Like
you're either crushed by the weight of the water and you can't breathe,
or you explode into oblivion,
you freeze to death, and there's no oxygen.
I thought it's in a vacuum. You literally get ripped up. I mean, you just become a dust. You become a cloud.
What? In the space?
In space, it's all a vacuum. So it's literally instead of pushing on you pressure, it's pulling on you. So if you get sucked out into space, it literally just will pull you apart.
I thought it's not doing any pushing or pulling of any kind. Like if you give yourself a little jolt in one direction, you'll just keep going in that same direction until something moves you. I don't think you do.
Because you do the same thing in water. If you push yourself, you're going to float that way.
For a little bit.
Right, because there's friction.
I don't know, man.
I'm just saying if your body was put in the ocean, you'd get crushed into a fucking atom. If your body was put into space, you would just be pulled apart, right?
I don't know. How do they not get pulled apart when they're in the spacesuits in space?
Call Elon Musk.
Our next guest, everyone. Oh, man. Well.
I don't know. You die either way. It wouldn't be great.
I don't ever die, man. You don't die, we don't die.
I'm a bad bitch. Can't kill me.
All right. Accolade.
Yoda sucks.
Battlefront. Yoda really is the worst. And we'll see y'all next time.